Father, we come to you tonight in prayer, and we thank you for all who can make it here tonight, Lord, and for all those who are here this morning with the speaker and the guests we had. And we pray for the pastor as he gives you your word this evening, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good evening. Good to see you all here tonight. I want to welcome each of you, and it's good to be back in church here tonight. It's good to have some guests with us here again. We have Genesis. She's over there. And we have Christian with us back tonight. So thanks for coming back tonight. And all of the rest of you here, thank you for coming. We will take a few moments for testimonies. So be thinking of something you could share tonight by way of praise or answer to prayer or something from God's Word. Something the Lord has done recently, and we'll take some time for that in a few moments. Wednesday, I just want to invite you to come and pray on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. here. And we have that time set aside for prayer. And so I just invite you to come out. And then this week is the Knox County Fair. We do have our church booth display set up even right now. The fair actually starts today. We're not really working it today, but our booth is there, and we have those tracks there for people to take. We have, if you remember last year, we had about 300 pinwheels, and we were going to be putting the children's tracks on those, which we did, and it seemed like those were being taken. So when we were there again yesterday, set up on Friday, and our box was half gone from those already. Not all of them, just what we had out there. So there's still more. But we are planning to give out the gospel packages as well there. And we're trying to see if we can staff that in the evenings this week. And so there's still some evening slots that are open. If you'd like to do that, you can let me know or take a look at the sign up and just choose a day there. But the evening slot we have is 4 to 8 p.m. And, you know, those are kind of flexible hours, but that's really the best time we've found to be working there. That's when the most people are there, usually in connection with the evening. They have a big event in the grandstand that people go to. All right, let's see here. And then, of course, Teen 2 is going on this week. So I think I heard they had about 50 that are signed up for that this week. And so Hannah is there again. She's going to be cooking the meals. And she was doing some counseling this past week as well. Not in the cabin, but just one-on-one with a girl. And so pray for Hannah as she is in charge of the meals. A very important job to have at camp. So we appreciate her service. All right. I guess we'll open it up for testimonies. Would you have any testimonies here tonight? Anybody have anything you want to share? And I can give you the handheld mic. It's right there on the front pew. If anybody wants to go ahead, it's all yours. Anybody? Any testimonies tonight? Any praises? Praise the Lord for anything tonight? Anything you want to mention here? You know, we heard from Ben this morning. Do you want to share a bit about what happened there? Again, there you go.
On Thursday, I was going into work, and I was stopped waiting to make a left turn, and I wasn't looking in my rearview mirror, and I got rear-ended. And the guy, I don't think, stopped at all, and he looked like he was on some sort of drugs or something and wasn't very responsive with his answers to the officer. And They said they didn't see any skid marks, so I don't think he slowed down at all. And they think they're going to total my car, but we'll have to see. And I'm a little sore, but I'm okay and thankful to be here.
All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord for protection this week. All right. Anyone else? Any other testimonies tonight? It's good to have Mrs. Lewis here. She was here last week, but just any update on your recovery? Doing better. Okay. Good. All right. Anyone else? All right. Pastor Gossman.
I had opportunity.
Get back to you.
Opportunity this week just to be able to witness to some that I've known from the past, that three different individuals that we've prayed for over the years, and just recognize that we depend upon the Spirit of the Lord to work in people's hearts to draw them to Him. But we recognize outside of that, they're not going to come to the Lord. But it's a blessing to know that it's in the Lord's hands, and I thank the Lord for opportunity to just to connect with some from the past that are not walking with the Lord this time. So.
All right, amen. All right, anyone else? Pass the mic off on. Maybe can I get Hannah? Would you mind just sharing how did last week go, and tell us about what's been going on there?
Yes, so last week went really well in the kitchen. I had a great staff. There was one girl that wrote me a note the one night and asked to talk to me about something. So I got to, which I've never counseled before. I was really nervous, but I got to talk to her a lot. She's been at camp a lot, multiple times, but I got to share the gospel with her again, and she did pray for salvation, which was really cool. And just pray for her. She's got some difficult situations. I can't share her name right now. Just pray for her. Pray that she would be growing in her faith. But it was just, I praise the Lord for His strength and His wisdom in dealing with all of that. And I also have another praise. My grandpa has been in and out of the hospital the past few weeks, and he's home and doing well. My sister just sent me a picture of him and Dad sitting at the kitchen table and talking. So I just praise the Lord for healing for him.
All right. Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Other testimonies tonight? I see there's a hand back here. All right. I think it's on already.
It's on already?
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
I didn't know. I thought maybe I had to turn a button on. Me and my wife got to go and visit some of the people last night that some came to our reception we had for our 50th year, and some didn't. And I was just sitting here thinking, a lot of them that did come and didn't come, back when we was young teenagers, we spent a lot of time in church together, a lot of my distant family, and cousins, and we had a rather large group of teenagers back in the junior high, senior high days, and it's really, as I was just sitting here thinking how much we grew up in a fiery Baptist church, we had a lot of evangelists that like to wear the pulpit out up there with their messages, but it's just sad and also disturbing in a way how many didn't carry on and try to serve the Lord. And my wife was talking, I think, on the way back home last night, how one generation away. And we can see that with our distant family, as well as on her side and ours, mine. And it's just, they was brought under good messages too, like, but it's just sad that they haven't carried on, because when everybody gets married and moves away or what other interests come along, that they like it more so than serving the Lord. But and it's, you know, in Sunday school classes with what we're studying and with the message from Dr. Crockett, you know, it's just sad to see that people are drifting farther, a little bit farther away every year. And it really shouldn't be for some that I was with, because I just felt like they had a good background from their parents, as well as the ministers that come to with all the sermons. But it was just something that me and my wife was talking over, and how we can see a lot of it coming right now. It's happening right now with them. So it's just sad to see, but I thank the Lord for the many years that, over the years, when I look back, yeah, I didn't do everything that I should have, and I thank the Lord for watching over us, me, and He still gave me the opportunity to have a second chance, and I thank Him for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. All right. Anybody else? Any other testimonies tonight? All right. Oh, over here. Can we run that over to him there?
We're, Becky and I are so thankful that the Lord's watched care over Ben in his accident. And I also wanted to say Grant and Aaron both have decided to change jobs, and I'm very thankful to say that Grant has found a new job, and he's very excited about it. It feels like it's a better company, a higher quality company that has a much higher standards. And so we're very pleased that he was able to do that. And Aaron is pretty sure that he has a position available, and he has a friend that helped him, a Christian friend that helped him out there. And so it's probably not the most ideal job to start out with where he's at, but he'll move forward, I'm sure, and we're thankful for that. And about the accident, Becky and I both were there with Ben. Of course, it was right there where Becky was working, and I rushed over because I just had gotten off work. And so we spent the whole time with Ben that evening. And as the officer took his report, and it was something that struck me and Becky's heart as a young man that plowed into the back of the Ben. You know, here Ben's father and mother is there the whole time. And this young man is being handcuffed and taken away, and his mom and dad are nowhere. And I realize that, you know, it may not have been possible for them to be there, but our heart just got to go out to that guy, because, you know, he's trouble. You know, he's having trouble. And, you know, there's a lost and dying world out there. And that's our great concern. So we'd like to pray for that guy. We don't even know what his name is. Mm-hmm. We're not even sure he knows his name, where mm-hmm. we've been. But, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Any other testimonies tonight? The mic is yours. Anybody else? See, Thursday, Lillian and I went out to do some door-to-door Thursday afternoon, and we talked to a number of people. First guy that we stopped at, he talked to me for a while, and he said that he was reading his Bible. He had been reading his Bible for some time, and he had some interest in that, at least. And so I was able to invite him to church, and he seemed to be somewhat interested. Just talked to a number of people along the road. We were going down 201 there, just east of the church here, and met some people I had met before. Actually, one couple that had visited here some time ago, maybe 5 years or so ago. And they're Christian people. And then went to the next home and talked to the gentleman there. And I was asking him about if he knew where he would spend eternity, if he knew he was going to go to heaven when he died. And he said, you ought to need to talk to the people next door, the people I just talked to. He said, they really need that. And he said, knew that the wife was sick, I guess, and he felt that they needed that more. And although they are Christians, he said. But so just tried to challenge him about his own need. You know, what about you? Do you know where you're going to go when you die? Have you ever thought about that? So he was one that was really trying to avoid the question, I guess. But he wasn't in the greatest of health either as he came to the door. It was quite clear. Although, you know, none of us knows when our time for death is here. It's appointed unto man once to die. And we know that's coming at some point here, unless the Lord returns first. So thankful for that time, we were able to go pass out some more of those packages here this week. All right, anybody else? Any other testimonies tonight?
Well, speaking of packages, we really are thankful for everybody who helped to pack them. That would have been a huge job. It was a huge job. But so many people took them, packed them, took their time to do that. And so,
all right. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else? All right. Wanted to mention about our missionary letter here from the Kilmers. There is a lot going on in South Africa where they serve. I'll read a bit of this here. Dear friends, the last 2 weeks have been interesting as there have been riots here in South Africa. It all started because our former president, Jacob Zuma, was being charged with corruption and he refused to appear in court for hearings on the matter. He served as president for 9 years, from 2009 to 2018, but was put out of office a year early due to corruption. Interestingly, when he took office, he was under more than 700 corruption charges. But he was popular with the people, and they voted him in anyway. He was the first Zulu president, and those within his party who backed him said if he went to jail, they would make the country ungovernable until he came out. So that's why there's riots going on there. So the stores are all being broken into, looted, destroyed, factories burned. Following Monday, there was a taxi strike. By Wednesday, a mother in our church needed baby formula. A few brave stores opened on Wednesday morning as the looting had subsided somewhat. Her husband and I went to town He went to one store and I went to another. He waited about 3 hours to get into the store. As he was waiting in the line at the checkout, news came that the looters were coming in numbers, so they closed the store. People had to leave goods on the floor or sitting in their shopping carts. At the other store, I waited 4.5 hours in the line outside. Just as I got to the door, they also heard the looters were coming and closed the store. The next day, I went to the store at 5 a.m. and was about number 75 in line. The store opened at 7:15 a.m. and they let people in little by little. After about an hour, I entered the store. Many shelves were empty as people were panic buying. After looking on the shelf and not finding something, we started looking on the floor for things people had left the day before when they couldn't check out. I found baby formula. Prices on most things stayed the same, but in some areas the bread price doubled. Things have quieted down. The former president is still in jail. Stores are slowly restocking, but there are still many empty shelves. What's the outcome of all this? It shows the wickedness of the heart of man, as Jeremiah 17:9 points out. It gives us opportunities to show people man's sinful nature and the need for a Savior. And then some praises and prayer requests for safety in troubled times, that under lockdown, with church meetings stopped, we can still preach with a megaphone and do discipleship. Our COVID numbers are the highest since the outbreak over a year ago. Number three, our health is a bit better and our pinched nerves are on the mend. Prayer requests for God to turn hearts toward himself and salvation through Jesus Christ. For wisdom, as Don finishes preparation for teaching New Testament survey at the Bible Institute, that we would be able to find Emto at home as he made profession of faith last month, but we keep on missing him and the church meetings are on hold. For church meetings to resume soon, please pray at 11:11 as well as at your regular prayer times. May God keep you strong for him, Uncle Don and Auntie Karen Kilmer. Okay, anybody else with a testimony tonight? Anybody else? All right, well, let's go ahead and have another hymn here.
Our next hymn will be Satisfied, number 446, and let's stand, sing 446.
I invite you to turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. as we continue on through Judges, we have come here to the final section of the book. The book starts out with a long introduction, about 2.5 chapters, the introduction to that cycle of the judges, some of the sins that led to this period. And then, roughly chapters 3 through 16, we have the careers of the judges. And we just finished one of the most famous judges, which was Samson. And several chapters on him there at the end. And then, starting in chapter 17, on through the end of the book, chapter 21, we have kind of an epilogue. We have several scenes here at the end of the book of Judges that give some illustrations. They kind of zoom in on some of the sins that were going on throughout this period of time in Israel's history. And tonight we are just going to look at chapter 17. It's a shorter chapter, just 13 verses. And we see through this epilogue a repeated refrain that in this chapter is in verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We have that refrain repeated throughout this epilogue, 17 through 21. And it shows us that there was a need for good leadership. It wasn't just that the people needed a king. They needed an ideal king, which the Bible gives the qualifications for back in Deuteronomy. And that good type of leadership is a kind of leadership that addresses the problems that we see in these chapters. So I'm going to begin here by reading the chapter, Judges 17, verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. His mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I have wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. This chapter is probably one that's a little bit less familiar than some of the other career accounts like Samson and Gideon. But this is a chapter that deals with, I think, a watershed issue when it comes to the failures of God's people, both in Israel and today. This is a chapter that deals with false worship. And we see some of the root issues which people got wrong during this time, which led to, I think, many of the problems that we see in the book of Judges, the bondage that they were into. And so I'm going to point out several of these problems here, but we notice, first of all, the making of these idols, the making of Micah's idols. We're introduced to Micah, this man who, the first thing we learn about him is that he's a thief. He had stolen from his mother 1,100 shekels of silver. And he hears his mother curse. Evidently, she realizes that these 1,100 shekels are gone, and she utters this curse. She's very angry that her 1,100 shekels of silver are gone. Micah apparently hears it, and he restores it, and then his mother blesses Micah and says that she's going to give this silver to the Lord, which is all very fine and good, but the purpose that she's giving the silver to the Lord for is to make a graven image. Something wrong with that picture here. And I think the first problem that we see here is a heart problem. It's a heart problem. You know, the problems start out in this chapter all revolving around these 1,100 shekels of silver. I think that we can see a warning here from this man who has stolen these shekels. He thinks that he is in need of these shekels of silver so much that he needs to steal them from his mother. And then his mother, notice her attitude towards this money. What does she do when she loses her supply of silver shekels? Well, she utters this curse. Cursed be the one who stole these shekels of silver. Matthew Henry says that this woman's silver was her god before it was made thither into a graven or a molten image. You know, the idol, I think, was the silver before it was ever molded into anything. There was a heart problem here. These people were evidently very greatly attracted to this silver, the mother and the son, both of them. Read about a cartoon that was published during the times of the times of communism there in China, and which is still going on. But in 1989, pro-democracy demonstrations in China, and this cartoon was published in many of the newspapers. The first frame pictured a person who was Chinese, wearing a Chinese symbol, and in their minds, their the thought that it was showing was the Statue of Liberty. And then in the next panel of the cartoon, there was a Russian person. And in their mind, the cartoon pictured them also as well, showed the Statue of Liberty. And then in the third panel of the cartoon, there was obviously an American person. And in their mind, what was pictured was a dollar sign. And, you know, the ideals of people in those communistic countries was liberty, liberty. But the American vision is maybe a little bit different. And it seems that there was some of that was going on here, even in Israel, which led to their which led to many of their problems. But then we see the worship of this idol. There's an image that is made, and a molten image made by a silver founder. There's some improper worship there going on. And then we're told about Micah in verse number 5. He has a house of gods, and he made this ephod. Remember what the ephod is? Gideon was one who was tempted to make one of those two, and it became something people worship, but it was part of the priestly garments there. And so Micah, he makes one of these as well. He has these teraphim. These are household idols of some sort. And then he needs a priest. He consecrates one of his sons, verse number 5, who became his priest. So we see a lot of violations here of God's word. God's word said that only the family of Aaron had the right to be a priest. We know the second commandment dealt with the making of images. And Micah is creating his own personal way to worship, more pleasing to him, visible instead of invisible. more convenient. It was at his home. He's got his son as his own personal priest. Not at this time would have been Shiloh, which was the designated place of worship. This was a violation that had to do with the second commandment. Exodus 20, verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Thomas Watson wrote a book on the Ten Commandments, which is very good. Thomas Watson was a Puritan preacher, and his book is still in print today. And in that, he explains the second commandment. He says this: in the first commandment, worshiping a false god is forbidden. You know the first commandment: no other gods before me. In the second commandment, he explains, it deals with worshiping the true God in a false manner. That is what's forbidden in that second commandment. Sometimes we tend to think of those first two commandments as both dealing with the same thing. Okay, no other gods before me, and then don't make any idols. But there's actually a distinction there. First one being different than the second one. That second commandment dealing with making images seems to be talking about worshiping the true God in a false way. And that's what was going on here with Micah and these idols. Micah probably could have defended his worship, saying that he was still worshiping Jehovah God. But everything about this worship was in a false manner. It was something that was very pleasing to Micah. He had all this religious system set up and everything the way he wanted it. But the problem was, it was not accurately representing God. And that's really what is behind the second commandment, how God is represented and portrayed. How does God want Himself to be represented? How does He want us to think of Him? He's given us how He wants us to think of Him, through His self-revelation, His Word. And what Micah was doing here is adjusting that. He was presenting God in a way that was different, not a way that God would have wanted Himself to be presented. And that's something that still can be done today. Anything in our worship that leads to a diminished view of God needs to be removed. You know, it may have to do with images. The use of images for some churches, can have that tendency to lead to a diminished view of God that's not quite accurate. It may be something else. Maybe the music. It may be the teaching in that worship or something else that leads to God being misrepresented. That's what the problem was. So we have here a second problem that led to many of the failures in this period of the judges. Not only was it a heart problem, which Micah and his mother seem to have, but they have a wrong view of God. They have a wrong view of God. That's the second problem. And that wrong view of God led them into other problems. So we need to have a right view of God. Make sure that we accurately portray and represent God as He has revealed Himself in His Word. And then we come to this matter of the hiring of another priest in verses 7 through 13. We're told about this Levite that is from Judah. If you remember, Levites were scattered all throughout the land of Israel. There are 48 different cities that the Levites were placed in, scattered all throughout the land. And they had a job given to them by God to teach the people the law of God. And so evidently this Levite was from the area of Judah, belonging originally perhaps to one of those Levitical cities. And he's on a journey. This Levite seems to have no clear goal in mind, just hoping to find some place. Verse 9, Micah meets him. And Micah said unto him, "Whence camest thou? Comest thou?" He said unto him, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place." And then Micah gives him this offer. "Dwell with me. Be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals." So here's this Levite, the wandering Levite, and he's hoping to find some place he can make a living. You say, well, what's wrong with that? That's what we need to have in this country, right? People that are trying to make a living. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But we find this job opportunity here is presented, the interview, the benefits. He was going to get 10 shekels a year, food, clothes. And then he accepts this job. Verse 11, the Levite was contented to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Perhaps you've heard of the story of American Company many years ago who was looking to find a man to handle their business interests in China. And this American company was discussing this. Somebody there in the company said, "I know just the man. He's already living in China. He knows the people. He knows the language. He would be perfect." And so they came up with the amount of money that they would be willing to pay him. They knew he was a missionary and not being paid all that very much, just $600 a year. And this American company determined they would pay him up to $20,000 a year. This was many years ago, which would have been a very high amount. And so they set off to find this man in China. They found him, this representative, and told him what they wanted him to do. And would he be willing to accept the job for a salary of $10,000? Started off low. And the missionary shook his head and said, no, I don't think I'll do that for $10,000. Then the man from the American company said, well, how about $12,000? Would you take the job here? You just stay here and work for us here. Would you do it for $12,000 a year? And the missionary said, no, I don't think so. And finally, they went up to $15,000. Would you take the job for $15,000 a year? He said, no, not going to do it. And finally, he went up to the $20,000. Would you take it for $20,000 a year? And the missionary declined. Why not? Isn't the salary big enough? The missionary said, to be sure it is. In fact, the salary is far larger than the work would justify. The trouble is not with the salary, but with the job. The job isn't big enough. The job isn't big enough. You know, that's not to say that taking a job that pays well is wrong before the Lord in any way. But the issue has to do with our motivation and our purpose in life. What is that? What is it that drives us? What is it that, what are the goals that we are to be living for in this life? There's obviously something not right about that here with this Levite. It seems that there was some dissatisfaction in his life, maybe some discontentment. There's nothing wrong with finding a good opportunity, even an opportunity that pays well. But why are we doing what we're doing? This man, this Levite, he thought he had a good opportunity, but he sacrificed obedience to God. Say, this is a good opportunity. I could get paid here well, whether it was really that good or not compared to what God had already specified the Levites were to be provided for as in their positions. But he sacrificed obedience to God. He accepted this position that was false worship. And maybe it was being portrayed as worshiping the true God, but it was a false manner of worship. Why are you doing what you're doing? It should be for the glory of God in all that you do. Can you glorify God and be paid a good salary? Of course. Of course you can. You know, a couple of weeks ago I gave a message on work. God designed us for work, you know, and there are benefits that come with work. And that's a biblical principle. And you can do a job and get paid for it well for the glory of God. You can do it to please Him. And you're serving the Lord in doing that. And that should be the motivation. Can you glorify the Lord in what you're doing right now? Or maybe you're considering something different. Can you please the Lord, glorify Him in doing that? Can you do that? And so we see here another problem that's highlighted here, and that just has to do with wrong motivation. Wrong motivation. That's what this Levite is displaying here, that his motives are not really to honor and glorify the Lord in everything that he's doing. That should be the motivation. But there was a problem. It was a wrong motivation. And then notice Micah's satisfaction here in verse 13. Then said Micah, "Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." Micah thinks that now he's hired this Levite to be his personal priest, that everything's good with him. He thinks he has God's blessing because he is in this situation. The Lord will do him good. It's an expression that can refer to being made rich, even. He thinks that God's going to bless him financially because he has this Levite that is his own personal priest. We see here Micah is content with the externals of religion. He has a lot of externals. He's got a priest who's a Levite. He's got these expensive idols and teraphim and ephod and this shrine, his own personal shrine. A lot of externals. But what we don't see here in this chapter is any mention of Micah's faith. Is Micah really a believer? Oftentimes when we hear from missionaries and they tell us about their work in other countries, we learn, sometimes we even ask about the religion of their countries. And really, everywhere you go in the world, there is religion. There are externals of religion. Sometimes they even have great buildings. They have even Christian and Protestant denominations. Perhaps other religions like Islam or Mormonism that have a presence all over the world. That's how it is. Even here in Central Ohio, drive through the towns and villages of this region and you will find religion. You will find very nice looking church buildings on the town squares. We have externals. But we know that there's still a very great need here and all over the world. Why? Because we know from the Bible that true religion is not about the externals. It's not about the buildings. It's not about the services people can show up to. And it's not just about the outward things. And so many people don't understand that. They think that just going to church is enough, and just sort of adopting this external show of religion. That's what Micah was focused on as well, the externals. He assumed that since he had a Levite, that God would bless him. And even people today, they assume that because they have a Christian family, or they go to a church, or they go to a church where they have a nice building, or great music, or a lot of people, that God must be pleased. But that's not right. That's not right. What do they need? How do we know that God is pleased with us? We believe in our hearts in Jesus Christ. Belief in our hearts. We live in obedience to the Word of God. That's better than sacrifice, God's Word says. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. God doesn't just want the externals. He wants our heart. And here we see another problem that led to the other greater problems, and that is just this external focus only. An external focus only. And no concern about the heart. And no concern about living for God and obeying Him. And that was a real problem. And that's a problem today as well. Israel went wrong first because of their worship. And that started with their own hearts. And they were content with a wrong view of God, an inaccurate view of God. And it led to a wrong motivation. They were not living for the one true living God. And we see that it was a religion that focused only on the externals and no concern for the heart. And the reality is that we can all deal with those same problems. We can all have those same things. How much has changed from the time of the judges? We can all have those same problems. These are foundational issues. And we need to recognize these dangers. And with God's help, worship God sincerely, in spirit and in truth, as He has revealed Himself in His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to honor You, help us to know You, and to see You as You have revealed Yourself in the Scriptures. Lord, we pray that You would deal with our hearts. We know that You want our hearts. You want us to obey You, to believe You, and help us not to deceive ourselves by thinking if everything looks okay, then we must be okay with You. We pray that You would search us and know us. We might honor You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.